Great to be with everybody again this morning. Our visitors are visiting with us. Appreciate you taking your time out to come and worship God together with us this morning. If you'll be turning your Bibles over into the book of Acts. Today I want to take a little time to look at one of the characters in Acts. We've talked about him a couple times now in our lessons. We've talked about him this morning. That's Barnabas. We talked about our lesson on Wednesday nights as he shows up in Galatians as Paul talks about him there. A very interesting character, this Barnabas. A lot is said, or somewhat is said about him, and I think it makes a great lesson for us to look at. And so, turning over to Acts chapter 4 will be the context, or the start of our lesson. Acts chapter 4, and we find the first mention of Barnabas as the New Testament church is established and created and has begun to grow and develop, and trials and difficulties come upon the church. And one of the first characters we see besides the apostles show up on the scene is this Barnabas. Now notice here, and we'll go ahead and read the entire context there, 31 through 37 in this reading. So if you'll follow along there. In Acts chapter 4, starting at verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of land or houses sold them and brought the price of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made to every man according to his need. Now, I'll stop for a moment just right there. We always remember this passage because not of Barnabas, is it? We always remember, we talk about Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5. It continues on, all part of this context. But Barnabas is a unique character here, and notice what it had to say about Barnabas here. And Joseph, who by the apostles were surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, that's according to the King James Version here, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet. So as we find Barnabas being introduced here in the book of Acts, he is given a title or a name by the apostles, and it was the son of consolation, or son of encouragement, son of exhortation, is other definitions that would be used to define that name he was giving. And we see that he... this name, and in names in New Testament times, or in biblical times even, had meaning. They would use names and be called names that was associated with them and their character in some ways. And that was true in this case. Barnabas, the son of encouragement, son of consolation, was what was given him. And I think what I want to do in this lesson this morning, I'm going to go and look at Barnabas and his life in the New Testament. And we look at his passages. We're going to see how he fulfilled this. We're going to see how Barnabas fulfilled this title, this name that he was given by the apostles. And I'm going to say not so much fulfilled it, but this is who Barnabas was. This is who Barnabas, this was within his being. This is part of Barnabas. The apostles no doubt recognized that, maybe by the gifts of the Holy Spirit they had, I don't know. But nonetheless, we see Barnabas is a exhorter, is an encourager. And certainly from the end of this, not just learning about who Barnabas was, but learn for ourselves ways that we can be a type of Barnabas in this life as well. And by looking at the examples, the things that he did in his life as we study through the text. So as we talked about here, Barnabas was active in the early church. Him actually selling land to help the needy saints. I don't know about you, but land is pretty valuable to me in this day and time. I grew up, and I don't know if it's any different than any other time, I guess, but I've always wanted land. I wanted, a little piece of the pie out there to give me some elbow room around people, right? But it's expensive. I never could bring myself to give up all the other things in life so I can have land. Land is just valuable. The joke's always said they stopped making it a long time ago, didn't they? Unless you're like from Florida, they've been in swamps in Florida, and they make new land, right? We hear about that. It's always a joke. Land's very valuable. We find Barnabas selling his land, and not just Barnabas, many others, but what a sacrifice that was made by Barnabas. Not for his own benefit, but for the benefit of others. He sacrificed to help the needy Jews, the needy Christians as we find them in the first part of Acts here. And so he sold this. We also see later, the next passage we'll look at here is Acts chapter 9. You might remember this. This is the section of Scripture where Saul of Tarsus is converted in Acts chapter 9. Saul is on his way to Damascus and sees Jesus, is converted, and is baptized, and continues. Now, we're going to start reading here, and I'm going to go ahead and back up. Let's see. No, I think I'm going to stay with what I got on the screen here. Acts 9, verse 26. Acts 9, verse 26. Actually, I do want to back up. Verse 18. So, and the reason I want to do this is because on Wednesday nights, we're studying Galatians, right? In the book of Galatians, it mentions Paul gives his narration of the time that he was from his time he was saved and how he interacted with the apostles in Jerusalem. So backing up in verse 19, when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then Saul was certain days with disciples that were at Damascus. And so this is the work he did at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, now that he was the Son of God. And all that heard him were amazed and said, "Is not this not the one that destroyed them which are called of this name in Jerusalem, and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priest? But Saul increased more in the strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt in Damascus, proving that this is the very Christ." So Saul, as immediately after conversion, went to Damascus, went to Syria, and began work there. And in verse 23, after many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him, but their lay in wait was known of Saul. And they watched the gates day and night to kill him. And the disciples took him by night and led him down the wall in the basket. Now here we have the passage I want to focus on for our lesson this morning. Acts chapter 9, verse 26. "And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he tried to join himself to the disciples, that they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple." So one thing I want to make a note here, just as a side point, the church at Jerusalem refused fellowship with Saul of Tarsus. His reputation was that he was destroying the church. He's trying to ruin the church. And they said no. Now, let's continue on, though. But here's Barnabas. "Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken of him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with him coming in and going out at Jerusalem. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him, which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him to Tarsus." We find Barnabas taking a man who had a reputation in the church of destroying it. He laid waste the church. He was at the feet of the ones who stoned Stephen. He got letters to arrest and to persecute Christians. And yet, all of a sudden, he's changed, and here's Barnabas on the scene. What does Barnabas do? He said, No, Paul, I've heard about you. I'm not going to have anything to do with you. Barnabas knew what happened, realized that Saul of Tarsus had been converted. Saul of Tarsus was changed, and he took him and brought him in and stood up for him to the church at Jerusalem. Now, you really think about this. Talking about the son of encouragement, Barnabas the encourager. Look at what encouragement he gave Saul of Tarsus. What if the Jerusalem church, and of course we can talk about these kind of things all the time, but then they could have continued to refuse him. But Barnabas stood up and fulfilled his name and fulfilled his title by standing for Saul of Tarsus before the church of Jerusalem. How much of his reputation did he put on the line? Barnabas had a reputation of his own, yet he put his own reputation on the line to stand for Saul of Tarsus. And we're going to find out this is not the only time he does that, actually. I've another example as well. But we see he aggressively defends Saul at this point to the church. And in the end, Saul was allowed into the church in Jerusalem. So we see Barnabas, the son of encouragement, the son of consolation, active in fulfilling his title and name that he has. Continue on in Acts chapter 11. We find Barnabas being active in the church at Antioch, just a page over in your Bible probably, Acts chapter 11, starting at verse 19. "Now when they were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen, they traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, Antioch, preaching the word to none other but the Jews only." So the writer here, Luke, is going back a little bit in time, and the saints in Jerusalem had been dispersed throughout all over the world. And when they went over that area, or that region anyways, They were converting people. They was talking about Jesus. The Messiah had come. Now in verse 20, when some of the men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which were there, they came to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and great number believed and turned to the Lord. So there was churches being started by these people who left Jerusalem. Then tidings of these things came to the ears of the church was in Jerusalem. Who did they send? They sent Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. And notice what it says about him here. So Jerusalem, the church in Jerusalem had a great respect for Barnabas, and they sent him to these infant churches to work there. And so verse 23, we'll continue reading. Who when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they should cleave unto the Lord. Now this is talking about Barnabas now in verse 24, the writer Luke here, the writer of Acts. For he was a good man. He was full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added to the Lord. Wow, what a great work. Now, certainly God working through Barnabas, but Barnabas, the son of encouragement, as these infant churches were being established, he goes in and begins strengthens them and helps them to grow and to be established. And the writer says he was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost, and much people was added to the Lord. And so we see a great the Barnabas the encourager, how important he was to the New Testament church, the young church. We also see that Barnabas seeks out Paul here. So we got a man who was in Jerusalem, who sold his land. He goes and Saul of Tarsus comes and been converted, been working, and Barnabas comes and takes him to the church and says, look, this guy is okay. He is doing the things he said he's done. He's converted. The same guy they send to Antioch. And to help the infant churches out there to produce. And what does he do when he gets there? He works, but then that's not all about him. That's not all about the church either, is it? Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. And it came to pass that the whole year they assembled themselves together with the church and taught much people. And disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. You ever known anybody that's taken somebody under their wing and helped them to grow and develop and learn something? That's the picture I get of Barnabas here. He goes, he's working, he's being productive. Things are happening and they're good. And what does he do? He makes time to go and find Saul of Tarsus and brings him, and they work together. And we're going to find that Barnabas and Saul work together for a long time. They are active together for a long time. But he seeks out Saul, and I think certainly has an influence upon Saul at this point in his life. We'll continue the next example I have here. It's one we mentioned this morning already in Bible class. In Acts chapter 15, verses 35 through 41, Barnabas and Paul are again working, and there comes up a dispute because they want to go back out and go on another missionary journey. This is the second missionary journey at this point, but Paul and Barnabas have a disagreement. So let's look at Barnabas, how he acts, and how Saul, how he acts here. Or actually, Paul, now his name is now Paul. I've got to get that right in Scripture here as well, as far as make sure I get his name right. Acts chapter 15, start at verse 35. Paul and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again to visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord, and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark, but Paul thought it not good to take with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the word. The contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. So Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. So here we have two men strong in the faith. Two men strong in the faith. Out teaching and preaching God's word. Notice what Mark, in the text there, as it mentions, John Mark had left Paul on his first missionary journey. Paul held him accountable for that. Paul obviously indicates that he should have stayed with him and not left the work. Paul did not want to take John Mark with him again. But notice, I want to focus right at this point upon Barnabas' attitude about John Mark. Barnabas, the son of encouragement. Barnabas, the exhorter. Barnabas, the one who sold the land. Barnabas, the one who helped promote Saul to the church so that the church in Jerusalem would accept him into their fellowship. Barnabas, the one who sought out Saul to bring him to Antioch to help him work and preach and teach. Let's just write him in his character, isn't it? John Mark, one who Paul had left or was not wanting to take on his next journey, said, I'll take John Mark. I want John Mark. John Mark is productive, he thought. And certainly they had a disagreement. But isn't that right in character with Barnabas, the son of encouragement, the encourager, the exhorter? I think it certainly is. It certainly is. Now, and for the record, I don't know that either man in this case was wrong. Okay, I see Barnabas' actions absolutely being good and right. He is productive. At some point later in Timothy, as we talked about, Paul said Mark was profitable to him. Mark had changed. No doubt, and most likely because of some of the work that Barnabas did. Neither do I fault Paul. Because Paul, on a journey and having the needs and the work that was at hand, having the man leave him, it was important that they stay devoted to the work at hand. And we find that John Mark had left. And so I don't fault either one of them. There's an appropriate place for each response. For our lesson today, though, talking about Barnabas the encourager, what great results it will happen because of John, because of Barnabas and the work he did. Standing up again, putting his reputation on line to stand for John Mark. And we find, as we said later, that Paul conceded that at that point, that John Mark was profitable to him. You know, some of the things as we talk about Saul of Tarsus and John Mark, sometimes there are stereotypes in our life, in our world, that we look at, that we put categorize people we shouldn't. And it's always been that way. Who would have picked fishermen to be the main, some of the main group that helped promote and teach the gospel that was being presented? Who would have selected fishermen? How about a tax collector? Those men were hated, weren't they? Who would have selected them? That was Jesus. So we don't always look at men the same way God looks at them. That's one of the great cautions for us, to remember that God looks at men a different way through different eyes. And sometimes we can let things get in our way that God doesn't. Remember when Samuel went out to select a king and goes through all of David's brothers, and surely it's got to be this one. And we're not going to read that, but when I remember the story, surely it's this man. Look at his stature. Look, he's such a leader. It's got to be him. And finally, get down the end. Well, have you got any more sons? God still hadn't picked any of your other sons you sent so far. It was the man that they didn't expect. Maybe Barnabas had that attitude as well as he looked at Saul of Tarsus. Very likely, he saw things in Saul of Tarsus that other people didn't see. Other people refused to see it because of what his life. John Mark, Paul. Didn't want him to go, but Barnabas saw something in him. There's some indication that John Mark might have been a cousin to Barnabas, which would also lead you to think why he might have been more favorable as well. But nonetheless, see the results of what he did. Standing for people, standing for those who others would not. He was certainly the son of encouragement. He was certainly the son, one who encourages and exhorts others, son of consolation. We realize that God uses those with a good heart. And we oftentimes get tangled up with, sometimes we look at the external, and certainly the external is a result of the heart, but sometimes people's heart and their actions are just still out of whack, and they need someone to help them get through those times. That was a Barnabas. God looks for those who have a good heart to serve him, that will yield to him. And that's what these men were. That's what these men were. And oftentimes we look for, in our society, we look for someone, well, they got a degree, so therefore they've got to be good, right? They got to know what's going on. They got a bachelor's of science in something or another, or even a doctor's degree. Whatever. The world looks at things differently. So what I want to talk about in the remainder of our lesson here are some applications for us. And the first thing is that we all have a way, or all have purpose. We all have our ability. And there's three passages here that kind of sum up how the diversity that exists within churches. The diversity that exists within churches. Because we're all not the same people. We all don't have the same ability. Some of us may have strength in one area. Others may have strength in the other area. Some of these verses, as the passages I have here, are talking about offices, maybe official offices in the church, and others are just about the abilities. And I like, especially in the 1 Corinthians passage, it talks about let's turn over there real quick. We're not going to, certainly don't intend on reading all these passages. But here in 1 Corinthians 12, And it's talking there about if everybody's an eye or a hand or a foot or an ear, we can't all be the same thing. Every part of the body has a purpose. And in verse 17 of 1 Corinthians 12, it says, if the whole body were an eye, where's the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But God has set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. So everybody's got a purpose. Everybody has an ability. No matter who we are, we have something we can provide. And we're not all going to be the same. We can't look and say, well, look, he does such and such, and I can't do that. Well, that's okay. That's okay. And if they are all one member, verse 19, then where is the body? But now there are many members, but yet one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, have I no need of thee, nor of the head to the feet, I have no need of you. So it's talking about to a church who is very divisive, who is very concerned about status and full of pride. He says, everybody's got a purpose. Think of yourself as you ought to think, as it says, as we talked about in Romans 12. Notice as it continues on here in the 1 Corinthians letter, verse 22, nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary, and those members of the body which think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. So before we get out here and start thinking too much of somebody else or too little of ourselves or too much of ourselves, we all have a purpose, and it's not all the same purpose. We all have different abilities. It's not all the same ability. We can't all be the same. We will never all be the same. In Ephesians chapter 4, that particular passage there, talking about unity that God wants in the church and how he intends on unity to happen, how it's supposed to occur. A part of that, he does talk about specific offices, many of which do not exist today. Ephesians 4:11, the apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Without focusing upon those individual offices, those individuals' positions, let's talk about what the purpose was. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, unto a measure of the stature of fullness of Christ, that we no longer be henceforth children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by a sleight of men, cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. We all have a purpose. We all have an ability. It all will produce something. Barnabas had a purpose. Barnabas had abilities, and he used those. He used those. He's very productive in the church. Very productive in the church. Very important person, no doubt, in the life of Paul. Very important person in the life of John Mark, as we saw. Very important person in the church, in Antioch, in Jerusalem, everywhere he went. We too can be a Barnabas. We just have to be willing to put our abilities to use. Even in our world, sometimes we spend so much time talking about what women can't do. Titus told women what they're supposed to do, and we can't forget that. Titus chapter 2, verses 3 through 5, they think that this is only for men, only men can do certain things, and certainly there's a status or a hierarchy that God has inspired writers have given us. In Titus chapter 2, reading there, starting at verse 3, the aged women likewise, they be in behavior as becoming holiness, not false accusers, not given much to wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers of the home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. We all have a purpose. We all have abilities. There's a need that we must be fulfilling as we live in this life. Barnabas the encourager, as we looked at, fulfilled those a lot of different ways. So how can we do this? Just a couple in brief here. How can we do these things? And we can all do these. These things, I think, for the most part, we all can do these things. Looking out for the best interests of others. Knowing and recognizing when a man or when a family or somebody's in need, you're being there for them. Barnabas did the church in Jerusalem. He saw the need and he done something. He saw a need with Saul of Tarsus. He saw a need with John Mark. He fulfilled that to the best of his ability and was productive at it and produced results. We can develop and encourage fellow workers. Sometimes we may think that, well, the church is the preacher, and that's it. Okay, so he's the only person supposed to ever do anything. But that's certainly, we all understand that's not the case. We're all workers. We all have a part. We have song leaders. We have teachers. When people lead prayer and personal work in the world, and even caring for the building. Develop and encourage fellow workers. And there may be young men around that we can help encourage to preach and teach. And that's important. That's important. We can be the Barnabas in that way by helping encourage them to do their best and to be active. To develop, encourage teachers and preachers, as we kind of noted that already, develop, encourage participation. Encourage someone who hasn't led singing before to get up and lead singing, or whatever the case may be, to lead prayer, whatever the case. Encourage people. You know, as we look at life, develop, encourage elders. As we look at life, you know, some of the most difficult people to be around are those that are just always negative, complaining, and picking apart things, isn't it? Is that just not sometimes the hardest thing to do? Someone who's always looking to critique and pick out what's wrong, so we see that sometimes that can be, this drags you down. Barnabas, though there was time for correction, there was time for instruction, and the church has certainly yielded to Barnabas when he preached and taught the gospel. But in the end, he encouraged and produced change. He encouraged and produced and helped be a part of young men's lives that became strong in the faith. John Mark even became strong in the faith. Paul certainly became strong in the faith, and author of most of the letters that were written to churches that we have in our Bibles this very day. So I hope we see, as we stop and look at Barnabas, and that we see as his life, you know, and I forgot to mention this as we went through it, in Galatians letter, we find that he stumbles again. You know, Paul had the contention with him over John Mark, but later in the Galatians letter, Paul mentions that Barnabas was part of those with Peter who was being hypocrites. But to be Barnabas, we can be an encourager. What great value is that we can be in the kingdom to encourage people to do good, to encourage people to try new things, to try, if they've not led a prayer, they've not been active in singing, they've not been teaching. All that's a growth and development process. He said, well, he can't sing a ton. Well, that's okay. He may learn. Let's give him a chance to learn. So hopefully we see from this man of the Bible that's given us a story about, given us the lessons on, that how he served God in the way he could, using his skills, using his ability to help the church, to help the growth and development of the church. And certainly he did so, if nothing more, well, certainly of his own work. But we certainly see it through the hands of Paul. We see it through the hands of John Mark. This very morning, we want to encourage you, if you've not become a child of God, that you do so this very day, that you confess Christ and your belief in him, he's raised from the dead and liveth this day. And you can be baptized. Have your sins washed away. If you've already started on that walk, and you stumbled along the way and failed our Savior, he's given what we call the second law of pardon. And as we read in Acts chapter 8, we talk about Simon the sorcerer. The solution was, pray to God that your sins be forgiven. And if it's a public nature and you want our help in any way this morning, won't you come and make your request known as we stand and sing our song of encouragement?